Hallelujah. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Man, if we could just figure out how to get out of his way, you know? We just got to get out of his way. We're going to let these finish here, and we are going to get into the Word a little bit. I'll be honest with you, when we came, we got here Friday night, and my name is Dustin Brown, and we're with a traveling ministry called Reignite Street Reach. My bride, Christy, is over there with our granddaughter, Lindley, and we have our daughter and son-in-law, and we got another grandkid back there, too, and anyway, and then we've got some other folks in here that travel with us as well, and we had an invitation to come and to go out into the streets of Paris, Tennessee this weekend and go door-to-door and do exactly what God told us to do, and that would be to cast off devils, heal the sick, and preach the kingdom. And that's what we spent about 8 hours doing yesterday. You can be seated if you want. I'm sorry. I'm horrible at that. I always joke. I do pastor a church too. And, I joke all the time. I was like, man, I stand up the whole time. I just think like it's fair. All you guys to stand up the whole time. So I don't really think about it, you know. Nobody lets me sit down, you know. Just kidding. We knew when we were coming up here, that Paris, Tennessee has been surrendered to the enemy for a long time. Did you guys hear what I say? Okay. The devil ain't got no power. He didn't take nothing. It was surrendered to him. Okay. And so we knew that. And we knew that there's lots of addiction here. Did you guys know, we looked it up before we came, did you guys know that 85% crime rate, 85% higher than any other city in the state of Tennessee is in your city? Did y'all know that? Yeah, 10,053 people live here. And out of those 10,053 people, the crime rate in this city is 85% higher than it is in any other city, including Nashville and Memphis in Tennessee. I'm from Nashville, from Tennessee. And so I know a little bit about Nashville, and it's rough. And man, I'll tell you what, if you guys are 85% higher than that, there's a lot going on in Paris, Tennessee. But you know what happened yesterday when we went out into the street? We brought the kingdom of God with us, and all of that stopped. It did. Whether or not it continues to stay stopped is going to be completely dependent upon what you do. But yesterday we went out into the roughest places that we could find in this city, and dope dealers and gangbangers and drug addicts stopped. And the kingdom of God came in and did what God wanted to do instead. We saw it happen literally. We were yanking people out of their cars. There's a guy sitting in his car on his phone. He's about 6'9". That dude was big. I gotta embellish. I'm a preacher. He's probably like 6'4" or something, but I'm gonna say 6'9". That sounds way better, right? Since I don't know, it's not technically fibbing because I don't know how tall he was, so I'm guessing. And, he was sitting in his car, man, and we walked up to the window and knocked on the window, and, I said, what's going on, man? And we talked a little bit, and he said, I got some forgiveness issues. And I said, why don't you get out of that car? And he got out of the car and I went, I just hope you forgive me, man, for disturbing you. Man, and we got to do intercession with him, and he got to forgive a couple ladies in his life that he needed to let go of. We prayed over some kind of healing, I think, too, blood pressure. We prayed over some blood pressure and commanded that to leave. But we went up into another place, and I'm just telling you, I mean, if you missed testimony last night, you should have been here. There was a lot of awesome testimonies. Listen, I'll just cut it short for you. Physical healing came on the spot yesterday when we were in the streets of Paris, Tennessee. Hey, check this out. Deliverance came on the spot yesterday in the streets of Paris, Tennessee. There's a young lady here right now that, because we went out into the streets of Paris, Tennessee, she's sitting on the third row, and she just did intercession, and she forgave her brother. Here's the key to this whole thing. You ain't got to wait for us to come and do it. But you also can't do it if you're sick. The reason why God decided to do what he did this morning was because all of you needed some healing. And I'm going to say all of you, because guess what? Just because you didn't come up here don't mean you didn't need healing. It just means that you listened to the devil instead of the voice of your shepherd. When the Holy Spirit was going, come on, man. Just go. It's your day. You heard him, right? The grave's open. Walk out of it. And you're like, mm-mm, I'm going to sit right here in his grave. So I'm going to say everybody in here needed some healing. And God said, I'm going to heal them so I can fill them so I can use them. There was a prophetic word spoken over this church. This church. We don't come up here for churches. We come up here for the kingdom of God. So, but we're in this church, right? So there was a prophetic word spoken over this church yesterday. And it said this, that this was going to be the conduit, and it was going to branch out across Tennessee, and the fire of God that started yesterday, this weekend really, that started was going to come out of here and go this way. This church. Yesterday, I'm looking at a lot of faces that weren't here yesterday, okay? So, and that's okay, I forgive you. I'm not 6'9", you don't have to worry about it. Hey, how many of you think raise your hand if you think it'd be pretty difficult to get five pastors from five different churches in the same room? Wow. Working together. Yep. That's what happened yesterday. One of them was down here on his face getting wrecked by the Holy Ghost. I'm serious. The pastor that pastored this church for 70 years came yesterday, back in 1970. Sorry, he didn't pastor. He's not that old. Man, how old are you? Pastored this church for 70 years. 1970 is when he pastored it. How long did you pastor this church?
Three and a half.
That ain't nowhere close to 70. He said back in the 70s, he pastored this church, and he came, and he said that back in the 70s, they were praying and praying and praying for something to happen to go out and reach the people in the city, and they were praying for it. And then they found out that this happened, and he showed up, and there he is, and he's sitting there. I'm here to encourage you today, and God's here to heal you. I can't heal you, but he can. Right? Okay. I want to show you how much it's changed. I want to make sure that when you leave this place today, you don't go back to what you were doing before, whatever you did when you came in here today. There's got to be a perspective change. You got to go to a different atmosphere. You've got to begin to operate in a different level and understand that it's crunch time. Okay? I want to show you what happened in your city. We were out in the streets yesterday and doing what I told you. We're doing it. We're out in the street and a police officer pulls up. And you're like, uh-oh. The reason why this probably all got connected was because we have a person on our team, and he was praying for your city, and he asked God, how can I pray for Paris, Tennessee? And God said, call the sheriff. So he did. And he just happened to be filling in for the secretary, and he answered the phone. First call. They had a conversation, everything. Okay, anyway, filtered all the way down through the jail, that phone call did. So then a cop car pulls up yesterday to one of our team members, and he rolls down his window and he hands him a note. This is it. I got it in my hand. You want to hear what it says? Yeah. I just want to make sure you understand when you walk out back out that door in that city, it's different. But it's going to be up to you to keep it that way. The devil did not come take your city from you. It was surrendered to him. We're a militant church, if you ain't figured it out. And it's crunch time. It's time to get armed, and it's time to go to war, and stop hiding in the church while the enemy's out there running around doing whatever he wants to do because you're letting him. Hey, listen, it ain't condemnation. It's a light. He who is of the light makes manifest. God just came in here and showed you his goodness and how much he loves you, right? We just spent the past 56 minutes watching God show you how much he loves you. So he's not condemning you, but he is preparing you. And you're going to have to be a good steward of that preparation. That's a good word. Nobody says it, so I say it for myself. I didn't hear anybody like, good word, preacher! So I just say it. That's a good word, preacher. I'm my own cheerleading squad. Because I'm not here to persuade men, I'm here to persuade Christ, and He's all the encouragement I need. This is what the note said. In times like these, it's important to remember that Jehovah does some of His best work in times like these. Now, how in the world that police officer tracked down our guy and knew that this was like, I don't know. But what was cool about that is he even called him Jehovah. Well, I said that got lit up. My Holy Spirit crawling up back of my legs. Whew. I mean, y'all say the name Jehovah, something, there's something. Let's just shout it on three. Can we shout again? Awesome. One, two, three. Jehovah! Y'all having fun? You didn't know you was coming to church for all this today, did you? Y'all thought you were going to come in, sing three songs, hear a sermon, and check out. We already been here an hour. Hey, it's over with. That's over with. It's over with. The only reason why y'all gathering in this building is so you can all use your gifts and you can edify the body and glorify Christ. That's what we just did for an hour. Everybody in here, man, I saw people coming up and grabbing oil. I don't even know who they were. Like, well, man, who you grabbing my oil? That ain't your oil, you know? I look down, somebody down here putting oil on his finger. I'm like, I don't even know who that is. What y'all be using my oil for? Pastor got oil? Use his. Oh, man. You know what's crazy about that? You know, in the parable of the 10 virgins. You know, the whole problem was is they forgot their oil. God, show me that the oil is works. It's your works that keep the flame. I used to always think the oil was the Holy Spirit, but that don't make no sense. The fire is the Holy Spirit, right? So there's got to be something to keep the Holy Spirit going, right? So what were they missing? Works. So I'm going to tell you, look, I got some word. I'm going to speak a word. I'm gonna, really, everything I thought was going to happen at the end happened at the beginning. I'm telling you, we walked into the prayer, well, I'm calling it the prayer room from now on. It's no longer your office. It's the prayer room. Amen. Hallelujah. It just came out of my mouth. Walked into the prayer room. You better clear everything out of there and make it, okay. Better start writing stuff, sticking it on the walls, you know what I mean? Make it your prayer room. War room, call it the war room. I put it on the door. That'd be cool. Anyway, so we're back there and I looked up on that shelf and I'm no kidding you, man. And I saw these chains and I was like, are those real or plastic? Because if they were real, I probably wasn't going to get them. I'm like, I'm not carrying that around. That's too heavy. I said, is that real or plastic? And he said, plastic. And I was like, oh, give me those, you know. And so we were praying and one of the guys on our team was praying over me and this is what he said. Isaiah 58, can you pull that up real fast? In my church, I stopped using scripture on the screen because all my congregants got lazy. And so I took it off the screen and I told everybody, you better start bringing your Bible and flipping through the pages. I ain't putting them on the screen no more. They're like, man, I'm glad you ain't my pastor. Nope, just for today. I bet I ain't driving 5.5 hours to your church. Isaiah 58 is up there. Oh, wait, I forgot. I can look at that fancy thing in the back. It's right there. I don't have none of this fancy stuff. This is cool. I'm going to read it right off the wall. Cry aloud, spare not. Just because it's neat. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice and they take delight in approaching me. Why have we fasted? They say, have you, and you have not seen? Why have they fasted, they say, and you have not seen, God? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you have not taken notice of us? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all of your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Did I do that? I'm adding that part. Did I do that? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? What are you doing all that for? This is what he said. Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Man, if I didn't do anything but come in here and do that, we're in trouble. Here's what's cool about that. Same Spirit, same Lord, one body, one Christ. Same one that's in me, it's in you. Ain't nothing special about me except I got saved. But I got really saved. And I got emptied out. And I knew I needed the Holy Ghost. There's a young man came up here right there. How you feel right now? Good. He can't. He's like, yeah. I said, how you feel? He's like, I feel good. He came up and he was like, he said, hey, we prayed me. I said, yeah, come on up here. He came up and he said, I said, what are we praying about in the middle of all that? I said, what are we praying about? And he said, I just need fire. And I was like, woo, you going to get it. And man, we anointed him. He started calling out, said, fill me with your Spirit, and just started crying. And he just started crying out to God for him to fill him with his Spirit. And then he fell down on the floor. And now he can't get that smile off his face. So listen, that same Spirit that's in me is in him and in you all and works through you all. But you got to let him. Stop doing stuff, man, that God didn't tell you to do, all going through all the rituals and that and fasting in the sackcloth and checking your box and the Bible study and the, you know. Come on, man. He didn't ask you to do all that. Let's pull up those last two verses one more time on that 58. This is what he said. Is it a fast that I have chosen? All that stuff you're doing, did I choose that? Did I tell you to do that? Is that what I've asked you to do? All that stuff you're doing, the Bible study? I'm not saying anything wrong with Bible study, but what I am saying is if that becomes your religion, then you've lost the relationship. If that's what you're hanging your hat on, you're in trouble. Because there ain't no power in that. The only power comes from being obedient to the Word of God, and that's how we get filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what he said. A day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head like a bulrush, spread out sackcloth and ashes. Would you call that a fast? An acceptable day to me? I don't think so. Next verse. And he says this. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? Loose the bonds of wickedness. Undo the heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. Look, I was standing out. I came out here and I had these chains on. I really thought that God was going to move at the end of this thing, and I really did. And so I'm probably not going to get into a lot of what I thought I was going to get into because we don't need to. How y'all feel right now? Good. I'm just asking. Because here's what I'm telling you. If there's somebody in here right now and you still look like this, that's why I keep wearing this thing. Because I believe there's people in here right now still got one on their neck. I believe it right now, everything in me. Some of y'all gripped that seat hard as you could and make sure you didn't get up. I said, come on up. You went. And if you were standing up because you didn't want anybody to see you sitting down, you stood up and then you went and grabbed a hold of that seat in front of you. There's people in here right now, you still look like this. And the Lord told me that the fast that he chose for me is that I was to loose the bonds of weakness, undo the heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke. That's what we came to do. Everywhere we go, everywhere you go, that should be your... That's it. You want to know what God called? You know what God's calling on your life is? I keep pointing that way because it's on the wall back there. Everybody turns around like, where's the calling? I need to do it different. You want to know what God's calling on your life is? That's God's call on your life. Many people in here right now mad at me. Oh yeah, because I am filled with the Holy Spirit and I feel it. Don't get mad at me, argue with him. He wrote it. Hey, Hey, listen, if we don't change, you ain't ever going to see nothing change. You got to be willing to change. The thing that keeps you from changing is the spirit of religion and tradition. The other thing that happened, man, I walked up to a lady. Where's that lady? Where'd that lady go? Husband and wife that called me to come pray for you. Where are you? Yeah, how you feel over there? You feel better? Do you know who you are right now? Huh? Okay. Can I share what you said to me? So before we came, one of the guys on our team also, the Lord spoke to him prophetically on Friday night when we were here, and he said, man, everybody's been given a label and everybody's been given a name and they don't know what their name is. And she came up and she said, I don't know who I am. And I said, that's okay. It's all over this place. Whoo, boy, if you just figure out who you really are. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine? Just imagine. So there's this event. I got two people on my team that are going to the event. They probably get mad every time I say this, but I don't really care. They know we love each other. It's fine. They're having an event. They know. They just laugh. They know what I'm about to say. They know what I'm about to say. There's a big old giant event in Kansas City called The Send. Have you ever heard of that before? I didn't either until they did, but it's supposed to be this big deal, right? So, The Send, right? See, that's my point, is they got this big old deal going on in Kansas City called The Send that everybody making all this noise about, but y'all ain't that far from Kansas City down in Paris, Tennessee, and ain't nobody even knows what I'm talking about. That's called an event. Woo! That's called an event. But y'all sang it. Y'all was saying it. Did you mean it when you sung it? We need a move. We need a move. I don't want to go anywhere that there's not a move. Events are a waste of my time. I'm saying all that to say this. Imagine if every church, there was five of them in here last night, and it's going to continue to grow. God's going like this. Okay? That's called the breath. Prophesy unto the breath and breathe on these dry bones that they may live. I prophesy, son of man, prophesy unto the breath and command these bones to live. We've been doing that for weeks before we came here. There's five. If every pastor in this city got rid of all their stuff and put down all their signs and all just got one big old building and stopped being prideful about who was preaching on what day and only spoke what they heard the Father speak, and then it wouldn't matter. And all of you went out and walked through Paris. Yeah, come on. Over with. Hell ain't got no chance. What'd he say? The gates of hell? Mm-mm. I had a guy come up to me yesterday. Boy, this is all Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you right now, because I wasn't thinking about none of this before I came in here today. Whew, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. I had a guy yesterday, he said, man, I had a ministry, I drove a semi, y'all probably know who he is, when I say this, but he drove a semi and he said, I had a ministry and I just go around and I would get these rocks and I'd write Jesus on them and I'd hand out these rocks. He's your coffee. He messes with the coffee. I don't know what his name, I can't remember his name. I met a lot of people in the past 3 days. But he came up and he said, this used to be my ministry, and he said, I used to hand these rocks out, and he hands me his rock and it's got the name of Jesus on it, you know. And he said, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. God's saying that to you right now. On this rock. Y'all sitting on top of a rock? Probably. It's Tennessee. There's rocks everywhere. On this rock, he'll build his church. There's a story in Ezra, and I'm almost done. Can you pull up Ezra? I'm shooting from the hip right here. Just give me a minute. All right, I'm gonna read one more scripture, and then I think we're gonna do one more. I think we're gonna give a chance one more time for whoever's still wearing this chain to come up here and break that yoke, take that chain off. I'm gonna give you guys one more shot. They just went like this. Oh man, I feel the love in this place, boy. Woo! You know what? That's not true. I do feel a little. That's a true statement. I was in here yesterday at the end of the day, and man, I feel like I grew up in this church or something. I feel like I've been here for weeks. I ride around Paris, back of my hand. I don't even got to use my GPS. I've been here 3 days. And I was standing up here, and I'm like, man, I'm so familiar. Like, this place just seems so familiar to me. You want to know why? Because the Spirit of me is bearing witness with the Spirit of God that's in this place in you. You want to know why this is all coming so freely? Because the Spirit of God within me is bearing witness with the Spirit of God in you that it's truth. And so this is easy. Like, it's not hard for me to say all this stuff because it's truth. And I believe that there's a lot of you out there that are receiving this right now, and you're fired up and you're ready to go grab your sword and shield and go marching through town and do something. I believe it's stirring. There's a stirring right now happening, and I know it, and it's all right, and that's good. Hallelujah. And I believe that there's some of you that are receiving this, and it's igniting something within you called the Holy Spirit, and He's beginning to flame. It's called fanning the flame that's within you. I believe that. I also believe that there's some of you in here that are just angry about it, and I can't change that. So if you go to the book of Ezra, I gotta look it up. I think it's three, sound team tech people. I don't wanna tell you that and then I'm wrong, but let me see. I'm just feeling this, and then we're gonna, is that okay, Pastor? Can we do that and then do one more, have the musicians come up and we'll try one more time, get rid of these. Okay, alright. There it is. It is three. Hallelujah. I wasn't wrong. So let's go down to 10. 3:10. Can you skip to 10 for me? I like reading it off the wall. It's just cool. On this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple... Oh, by the way, sorry. So I'm right, and this is a prophetic word that we got a long time ago, and it's part of why we do what we do. But anyway, so I won't go into all that. But anyway, this morning I had to go get McDonald's coffee because I don't drink hotel coffee. It ain't going to happen. The cups are this big. I got to fill it up 14 times, and it tastes like water. Like, I'm not doing it. So I always go to McDonald's whenever we stay somewhere, and I go get coffee from there. So I went and got the coffee, and it was funny because I did the same thing on Friday, Saturday morning, right? And then we drove by it, I don't know how many times, but I hadn't noticed it yet. And this morning, I went to go get coffee after everything that happened in the city yesterday. I went to go get coffee this morning. I drove and I looked over, and the bank was called Foundation Bank. Y'all know what it is? And I saw the word foundation, and I went, oh, and God said, it's been laid. It's been laid. Man, the Lord is speaking. And then what did He say about that? The foundation that other men build upon, right? And then He said the stone that the builders rejected. But one of two things going to happen. You're either going to build on the foundation or you're going to reject the stone. Oh, man, I'm going to leave that alone, Pastor. That's too hot. Woo, man, I heard him say that, though. I had to say that. Okay, but many of the priests and the Levites, I'm sorry, 10, I got to back up to 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, I don't know how to say that, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. So what just happened, just so you know, is that they're rebuilding the second temple. Okay, they built the first temple. It was huge and magnificent. It got destroyed. And what's happening is Ezra had a heart, and he said, man, I want to rebuild the temple. And he went and asked the king for permission. And the king said, yep, you can rebuild the temple. Let me check. And then the enemy came and was like, he ain't supposed to be rebuilding the temple. And came and started arguing with him. And so the king went and they said, hey, it's in the notes. It's been written. It was a decree by the Medes and the Persians. And it cannot be reversed. So go in there and find it. And so they went and they started digging around. And they found the decree from the king before. And he said, yeah, I told them to build the temple. And I'm going to give them all the money out of the treasury and everything that they need to build the temple. It's going to come right out of the storehouse, so fund it. And so the king said, sorry, man, they can do it. And then we're going to give them everything that they need to do it because it's been written in the decree and it cannot be changed. It cannot be changed, Pastor. You just kick and scream all you want to, devil, but it ain't going to change. And religious spirit, you can kick and scream all you want to, but it's not going to change it. It's been written. It's been written. The house of the Lord will be rebuilt. Yeah. And it'll be God that builds it.
Yeah.
And it's happening right now.
Yeah.
Because God told me this morning when I drove by that bank, He said, the foundation's been laid. At least y'all get excited when you say something good. I mean, that's good. Man, my church are like, you would think my church would just be like blazed with fire all the time, right? I'm just like, what is wrong with you people? Yeah, you sleeping? You ride around all over with us and you're just like, I don't get it. I don't understand. A prophet's without honor in his own home. Maybe that's what he meant. I don't know. I would throw this rock at my congregation. I'd be like, wake up! All right, let's go on. Yeah, there we go. And they sang responsively. That's not what it says in King James, but it's okay. They sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the was laid. Well, I like that. I like that big giant blow up there y'all did. You're pretty good with that, man. Let's keep going. But many of the priests and the Levites and the heads of the fathers' houses, those would be the traditional, it says old men, so I'm just going to say what it says. The old men who had seen the first temple, what they did was they wept with a loud voice when the foundation of the new temple was laid before their eyes. Let me tell you what that really says. Those that were caught in religion and tradition that were around when they saw the first temple, the second temple didn't look like the first temple. And so they started crying about it and ripping their garments and making a big old fuss because the temple that was being built right in front of their eyes didn't look like the temple that they thought it was supposed to look like. So instead of taking the blessing of God that was being built right in front of them, instead they couldn't see that because they were so caught up in their religion and tradition and it didn't look like what they thought it was supposed to. That's for everybody mad at me right now. Let's go ahead to the next one. I didn't finish that one. Sorry. I get ahead of myself sometimes. There it is. They wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet, though, many shouted aloud with joy because the temple was being built. I'm moving here, and I'm gonna co-pastor with you because I like your congregation. I'm gonna have to leave mine or something. I don't know. What's crazy about it? Most of them come with us, so they go everywhere we go. So it doesn't matter. We got a little bit of a small congregation. There's about 30 of us or something. It's not big. 30 plus kids. I mean, it's little. But here's what's cool about that is the entire congregation gets in the car and goes. All of them. All of them. And if they don't go, they're preaching for me so I can go. There ain't anybody in our congregation that ain't moving. I will tell you that. They wish that we did. You know what I mean? Like, man, can we just come to church and sit there for an hour and go home? Like, no. No. I'm like, I got an announcement. They're all like, ugh. What are we going to do now? Oh man, God told us to sell it all and go to Africa. Oh man, that might come. I hope that wasn't prophetic. You know what though, if He does, we're going to do the same thing in Africa. We're going to do the exact same thing. We're going to go to every village in Africa then. Whatever. Here I am, send me. I go. Okay, last little bit of this. So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy. Is that where we're at? From the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. When I read that, here's what's amazing. God gave me the entire blueprint for what we do right out of the book of Ezra. Every warning, everything to be careful of, everything that we'd walk into, everything that we would run into, everything that we would encounter, well, how we were supposed to do it, when we were supposed to do it, why we were doing it, everything came straight out of the book of Ezra. Isn't that crazy? The whole thing, the whole model came straight out of the book of Ezra. I was in Ezra for 6 weeks.
And every time, and I mean, I look, it just highlighted all the smithereens, right? And every time he'd say something, I'd highlight it, and then I'd think about it for a minute, meditate on it, and then I'd realize how we're supposed to implement it. It all came out of Ezra. So when I read that part, why I'm saying that is he told me that everywhere we went, there was going to be people that shouted for joy. Do it. You're supposed to do it. That's your cue. Shouted for joy. You got it the first time. I can't blame you for the, you know, missing it the second time. And then there's going to be people that are weeping because they don't like what it looks like. See, God already told me that's how it was going to be. So all of you that are angry at me right now, he already told me you was going to be. I don't expect 100% anywhere we go. But God don't need 100%. Apparently, he only needs 12. And I believe there's more than 12 of y'all in here that are lit on fire right now. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to leave, and Brother Dale Miller, where you at? There he is. Brother Dale Miller and his bride and family, we anointed him as the Gideon of Paris, Tennessee. I'm not going to go into that, but we did do that Saturday and dumped a bottle of oil on his head, and man, it's powerful. You ain't ever seen that happen before? There's something about that. It ran down his face. And that's pretty cool. So Dale Miller and his family and Pastor Eric have agreed that it's time to take this torch and continue that, moving out into your city and taking back what's been surrendered to the Lord. God encouraged both of them yesterday, and I'll tell you how. Because Pastor Eric thought he was the only one, and then five pastors showed up. Brother Dale called me one day and said, what if 9 people show up? I said, well, we're still coming. And then 80 people showed up. All from all kinds of different churches and whatnot. Okay. So they're going to keep that torch burning. And once a month or once every 2 months, depending on Dale and Pastor and what they work out, but at least once every 2 months, if not every month. But once every 2 months, they're going to continue to hold a Reignite Street Reach, and it's going to be launched out of this building, and God's going to use it to bring together all these other churches, and pretty soon, you guys are going to be a unified, militant church, and the kingdom of darkness is going to have to let go. Addiction is going to have to go out of this place. Listen, I know there's violence, there's addiction, there's prostitution, there's sex trafficking. You guys got a lot of stuff going on here. But all you got to do is go put your feet on the pavement, and it's got to leave, and just say to him, just mention the name. My favorite verse, my go-to verse is this, is that at the mention of his name, that means mention, by the way, I mention Jesus, right? That's it. That's all it takes. I'm about him at the mention of his name, everything in heaven and earth have to bow. So literally all you have to do is walk down the street and say the name of Jesus. Do you believe the whole thing? God cannot lie, right? So he said at the mention of his name, everything hits its face. So all you literally have to do is walk down the street and pray the name of Jesus as you go, and everything around you that's not of him will hit its face. Actually, even of him will hit its face. You guys got it? Okay, so we're going to show you a few pictures from yesterday so you guys can see what it looked like. If we got those pictures back there, sound team. I just want to give you a quick overview. I don't know if you can get them. Yep, boom. So this was in the middle of the street. Pastor Eric, thank you. Pastor Eric and myself and whoever else was with us, I don't remember. But Dale, Brother Dale and his family, my bride. Anyway, so this young man was in his car. I'm not going to tell the story with everyone. We'll be here forever. But this was a good one. He was in his car, and he was pulling in. And that's my truck right there. And he was pulling in the driveway. And I just stopped him. I said, hey, we came by your house. You weren't home. Hold on. Stop. And he stopped. And he's like, what's going on? I said, I got a bag. And he went, I was like, not that kind of bag. Hey, if you're in the hood and you won't get their attention, be like, yo, I got a bag. I can say that. Hey, I can say that because once I hit 16, I ran in the hood. So I can say in the hood. I can say that. Okay. My story is for another day. So he gets out of the car. I said, "What's going on, man? What can we pray for?" He said, "Well, I mean, I'm pretty good right now. You know, that's what everybody says. I'm pretty good. I'm like, really, man? No, I'm going to hang out with you. You don't need no prayer for nothing, you know?" So he finally says, "Man, well, actually, my back's hurting." I said, "Okay." So he got out of the car and, anointed him with oil and commanded his back to be healed, and instantly it was healed, standing right there on the sidewalk. Amen. What was cooler though about that is that we dug a little bit deeper and he had this forgiveness issue with his mom, and that's why his back was kept hurting and he needed to let go of that issue with his mom. So the Holy Spirit prompted me to turn around and some lady, she's in here, I don't know what her name is. What is it? Sheila. Are you here, Sheila? Bam, there she is. So Sister Sheila in the back there, the Holy Spirit prompted me to get her, and so I called her over, and she stood in for his mom, and he was able to confess his anger and his resentment towards his mom and get all that out of him, and she stood as an intercessor for the mom and was able to forgive and then also and ask forgiveness and then also pray. And so Sheila did that. Sister Sheila did that, not me. She did that. So amen. Hallelujah. So... anyway, so that young man got free in a couple of different ways. Anyway, come on, we'll keep flipping. I don't want to tell the story on everyone. This is when we anointed Brother Dale, poured oil on his head as the Gideon of Ferris, Tennessee. Okay, amen. That was in our team meeting. We did a little bit of worship. You can just kind of keep flipping through these things. This was a repentance, Brother Travis. Yep, keep going. You're good. Brother Joe did a great job. That's my bride praying in a chain-breaking anointing over the place yesterday before we got started. This was Pastor Eric. How's your back? Amen. Great. He said great. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, Pastor Eric, we do some evangelism training and how to heal the sick and all that for people that don't know what they're doing. So, Pastor Eric, real life example, he said, "Mama, my back is actually hurting." And I'm like, "Oh, cool. So we get to do this for real." So we had anybody that ever been healed from a back problem come up. That was what the line of people over there that you saw. They came, all them. Yep. So they had been healed from a back problem. So they all came up and practiced commanding healing on, Pastor Eric's back. And then the good news is that he just said, "My back feels wonderful." So all of you were used by God to heal Pastor Eric's back. Amen? Amen. If you're in here, I don't know, but okay. That was one of our teams, Willie and Dorian and their team, and Brock, it looks like, and keep going. This was our team leaders meeting before we hit out to the street. One of the guys in the street that Dorian and Willie and their team got in contact with, he posed beautifully for this picture. And then he said, "I got crosses on my arm. I know who Jesus is." Something like that. I don't know. These are our young men. It's a blurry picture, but all three of these young men were taking up offering yesterday. We called up some of our youth. We keep going. This is the pastor. What's his name? Everett. Yep. So, he came yesterday and, man, he got leveled down here on the floor. That's all I'll say about that. This was our team clean out before we got started yesterday. And you just keep flipping through them. There we go. There's a video of us putting the bags together. My bride directing traffic. Go around this way. Here they come. Super cool, man. Amen. And then there's one more little video of people carrying them out to the cars. And then there's one picture that I'm looking for if you want to keep flipping through. It was really cool. That's our little boy Colin, by the way. He's investigating the meat, making sure it all looks good. Thank you, Lord. Just keep on going. Keep flipping. So this was, a shot of Brianna. She got really mad at me because I got her on camera. She's like, "I don't think so, Mr. Brown," or whatever she said. And then, Here's some, they're loading up cars yesterday. Cool. And then, keep on flipping. There's one picture I'm looking for. Keep going. And it's they were driving by in the van. And it's just super powerful. I just got it. Keep on flipping, sound team, till you get to this picture where this van, is that all of them? It might be all of them. Is that all of them? Okay, never mind. So there's a picture I was trying to get to where they're in the van and this guy's walking down the street and they just pulled up the van next to him and they got their hand out the van and all you can see is this arm coming out the window and laying on his chest and they're praying for him. And all you see in the people in the van was their arm coming out and it was a really cool picture. So, anyway, we just did that. We did that all day, went in people's houses. Man, so much stuff happened. I could keep going. Listen, that's what you're going to be doing all the time. Right? Okay. We had another guy on our team and he said this, listen, you don't have to have an event. You don't have to have an event. You shouldn't have to have a reignite street reach to go talk to your neighbor. That's what, you're the light of the world, man. Oh, I'm going to throw this rock in a minute. I'm just kidding. I'm not throwing. Here, on the front row, they're like, look, they're, especially these guys. They're like, what? I'm asleep. What? You're going to hit me with a rock while I'm sleeping? I'm not going to throw a rock at you, dude. Listen, but you can't do that. You can't do that if you got chains on you. That's why the devil puts chains on you. You know that, right? So you can't leave the church building. Yeah. So musicians, I'm going to ask you to come up and play something. I don't care what it is. Not techno Jesus, though. Don't play any, no techno Jesus. Yeah.